Hello and welcome to the REIT Report. I'm your host, Sarah Bourke from Quito, and today we're taking an up-close look at the shopping centre REIT segment with Robin Ziegler, Executive Vice President and Chief Operating Officer at Cedar Realty Trust. Robin has been with Cedar Realty since 2016 and has over 20 years of commercial real estate experience across multiple asset classes. Robin, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
During the last few months, there's been a lot of discussion about a potential shift away from urban settings in favor of the suburbs. How would you respond to those who see challenges ahead for high-density urban neighborhoods?
You know, I obviously we hear a lot of the same sentiment, and living here in New York, people are you hear about people leaving the urban areas and looking for homes in the suburbs with more space as folks are quarantining and having to work from home. But you know, the way that I view the world, none of us have a crystal ball. But as we are living through this COVID period, the hope is that we will at some point come out of this. And when we do, that there will be the desire for our commercial districts and urban centers to thrive once again. And what I mean by that is one of the things that we've seen during this period is that people do still have a desire to gather and to be in certain types of environments. You know, the desire to have outdoor dining, the desire to go to a bar is still evident. It's part of the reason why you see COVID resurrecting itself in certain parts of the country, because you know people have a propensity to gather in those types of environments. You know, people want good urban gathering places, and so at Cedar we have been working on 3 urban mixed use projects. And while they're not directly in Center City, they do create those types of urban neighborhoods where people have those good gathering spaces, where people have the ability to shop and dine and live. And so I do think that, you know, that people will eventually have the desire to have space where they can live comfortably, but also have the desire to conveniently get to places where they can dine and shop and enjoy experiences conveniently. And so I think that there will be a morph back to normal once we get to a vaccine and we kind of get through this period that we're in today. I think there will be some remnants of social distancing and what we're experiencing now. But I don't think that what we're seeing today will be a complete permanent fixation for what we will see into perpetuity.
Mm-hmm. And when Cedar Realty goes about selecting sites for the portfolio, what are some of the characteristics that you want to include there?
So we typically look for, we're a grocery anchored shopping center REIT. So we are looking for typically grocery-anchored shopping centers with either a good, you know, essential retail mix, or a center that has the potential to have that good mix, and, you know, has the ability to be repositioned so that there's good long-term value creation, and the ability to be able to have long-term growth. And so that's typically what we're looking for. And we tend to be income agnostic. We have seen that what's most important is that we have shopping centers that are in areas that have demographics that need the retail services that we're providing, and that can be up and down the spectrum as far as income. And our shopping centers are located on the East Coast, from Boston down to the DC metro area. But we're looking for high density and shopping centers that have a value creation opportunity.
And can you talk about the rent collection patterns that you've seen among your tenants, and what sort of steps has Cedar Realty taken to offer tenant assistance?
Sure. So, once we started through this COVID pandemic, we started a process of reaching out to our tenants to make sure that we had a process to ensure that we were dealing with each kind of tenant relative to forbearance if it was necessary, and ensure that we were helping tenants get through this period. So how we treated our national anchors was different than how we treated our mom-and-pop small shops. And so we had a process in which we were reaching out to each tenant on a one-on-one basis, some of them by phone call, some of them by email. We did have a deferral of rent process for those tenants where we felt it was reasonable to do so, where we would allow them to defer a couple of months' rent until later, after this COVID period ended, and so we would do those for the tenants where we felt like that was relevant, and we really took it on a one-on-one basis to assist tenants to get through this process. And we actually had a very strong rent collection during all the months of COVID, April, May, June, and even going into July and August. Our rent collection was one of the highest of any of the retail REITs. And I think that was attributed to two things. One is the kind of essential retail merchandise makeup of our tenancy, and the fact that we are grocery anchored. And then the other was the approach and process that we used relative to our deferral and collections process and the way that we approached it.
So do you have any plans at this point to change that tenant mix going forward?
No, we actually don't. We have been historically a grocery anchor shopping center REIT, and we intend to continue to be that going forward. Even with the advent of online grocery and online retail, our view is that people still buy groceries in the grocery store, and that there is a place for that, particularly in certain markets. And, that is still our bread and butter. And we will continue to have that as a key part of our tenant mix going forward. And even as we embark on, doing urban mixed-use development, grocer anchors are even a signature part of those projects as well. The three projects that we were working on, they are in areas, or at least two of them are in areas that are food deserts, and their key anchors are grocery stores as well. So, grocery anchored shopping centers, that essential retail mix is a key part of our tenant mix today, and I anticipate it will be going forward.
So has the pandemic had any impact on the pace of your redevelopment projects? And can you talk about some of the key goals that you've set for the next 6 to 12 months?
Sure. So without question, it has certainly had an impact on the pace. I mean, when COVID hit, we had to stop construction or stop the development process as everything shut down, stores were closed, everything kind of came to a halt. And so that kind of slowed down the process related to the pace of our redevelopments, and it also has caused us to look at how we're going to apply capital going forward, and we're looking at financing and JV options for some of our projects as well. And just given the capital markets and working through that and the pace of that process given COVID, so all of that kind of factors in as it relates to what's going on in the larger market. But I would say that our overall goal hasn't changed, but the pace related to COVID has had a some impact.
And can you just briefly mention the locations of those main projects?
So we have a Northeast Heights, which is in Washington, D.C., and we have two projects in Philadelphia. One is called Revelry, and the other is in South Philly called South Quarter Crossing.
Okay, great. And finally, I wanted to ask you about the importance to you of mentoring young women and people of color. And do you think that the current economic climate could impact their chances of advancing in the real estate industry?
I think mentoring is critical for young women and people of color. And, I've talked in the past about the need for both mentors and sponsors. A mentor is helpful and useful so that folks have someone who is constantly talking to and helping someone throughout their career. And a sponsor is also helpful and useful to help someone push them through their career, giving them opportunities, putting them in the right place at the right time, getting them in front of the right people in order to advance them through their career. And I think for young women and people of color, having a sponsor is almost just as critical, if not more, than having a mentor. And it's important to have both. As far as whether the current economic climate and what's going on in the world is affecting the chances of those folks to advance in the industry today, it's a hard question to answer. There's so much going on right now. I would say, sitting where I sit, I look at, working women right now in the face of COVID. And one of the things that I recognize is that, being a woman in the real estate industry has always had its challenges. It is a predominantly, predominant white male industry. Add the advent of COVID, working from home, kids are at home, daycare is closed, school is closed, you're trying to work, your kids are doing school remotely from home while you're trying to work, or you've got young ones who are not in daycare and they want their mom. It is even harder for a working mom to do what she does in this kind of a COVID world that we're in today, and so that's a added complication or nuance that we have right now. And then you look at the social unrest that's going on in the world that affects people of color. You have the even COVID that affects brown and black people more from the impact of death in those communities, and then the impact that has on people of color. So it's just a really crazy time right now. And so the kitchen table impact that it has on women and people of color is a is an interesting time. That being said, I think what is happening right now is giving rise, and people are paying attention to making sure that diversity is important, and making sure that they that folks have a diverse workforce, diverse leadership, and making sure that that's an important aspect in companies today. And so, as I said, it can go both ways, but it's a complicated area. And so right now, whether the chances are better or worse, I think depends on the individual and their circumstance. And it's a matter of, you know, taking advantage of the opportunities that are presenting themselves. I think it's time for companies to really evaluate how they're looking at diversity initiatives, and that it's not about checking a box, but really digging deep on how the benefits of having a diverse workforce, the benefits of having different perspectives at the table, and what that brings, how it affects the bottom line, how it improves the marketability and the profitability of your company, and making sure that, you know, the diversity, and whether that's, you know, women or people of color, is included in all aspects of the business. And until that's done on all aspects, for, you know, not just for this moment, but permanently, you know, that's when we will, you know, see systemic change. And that's where I think we ultimately need to get to.
Okay, Robin, great. Thank you so much for taking time to speak to me today.
Thank you.
And to our listeners, for more news and information on REITs and listed real estate, be sure to visit NAREIT's website, REIT.com.